Welcome back to AgriTech Talk Farm Recording Podcasts. This is the third podcast in a series of four. In the previous podcast, we have looked at why farm recording is important and the different inputs and outputs that should be recorded in a simple recording system. In this podcast, we will look at, firstly, how to record the value of what your enterprise has produced in more details. Then we will look at how to enter the costs of labor into your inputs. And lastly, we will look at dealing with inputs that are shared by different enterprises. To do this, we once again join Joseph, an extension officer, and Betty, who is a smallholder farmer.
Hello, Betty. Very nice to see you again. Do you want to tell us how you are getting on with your recording? Looking at your record, you seem to be managing to record your farm activities very nicely.
Hello, Joseph. Yes, I think so. I try to record when I come home from the market or when I come in from the field. That way, I remember it. Otherwise, it is easy to forget with everything else going on.
I know what you mean. Life can be quite hectic.
I'm still using a book for each of my enterprises, just like you suggested last time. In each, I have one page for inputs and one page for outputs, using the left-hand page for inputs and the right-hand page for outputs, and I separate these by month. As the season progresses, I am recording new things, and so I am having to think up new symbols so that when I look back, I know what the activity was. My husband and children help me come up with ideas. My sister and several of my friends have also started recording, so we compare records and can learn from each other. I have been helping them to get started.
That sounds good. I'm glad you're helping each other. Have you had any problems or worries about your farm recording?
Well, I was wondering how to record the value of the eggs that I produce but do not sell, because we have eaten them. For example, this week we produced 10 eggs. We ate 4 of them and sold 6 of them for 500 shillings each.
That is what I wanted to talk about. That is, how to record the value of all your outputs. If you had not eaten those 4 eggs at home, you would have needed to buy eggs from somewhere else. Similarly, if you grew some grain and put some of it into storage to eat later, this would save you buying grain later on. This means that you need to include the value of all your produce, not just what is actually sold.
Putting a value on some of our produce may be difficult, I think.
When giving your products a value, try to ensure that it's of similar quality to what you are basing its value on. Otherwise, you may be undervaluing or overvaluing your produce, which will reduce the accuracy of your farm records. The value could be based on similar produce you have bought or sold that day, or the value of produce for sale at the market. So, look at your eggs again. You should record the value of each egg you ate at the price you sold an egg for. You can also add on symbol for whether the produce was sold, eaten, stored, or given away, so that you can make comparisons between these quantities and values in the future. So, for your egg records, draw your symbol for eggs, enter the price you sold each egg for, then add the number of eggs, and finally the total value of the eggs. Do the same for the eggs you ate underneath.
I find it hard making some of those calculations, Joseph.
Do not get concerned if you are faced with calculations you are not confident in carrying out. For example, if you are unsure about how to work out the total value of the eggs you have eaten, see if you can find a family member, community officer, extension officer, or VSLA group to help you. Do not let the worry of not being able to do these calculations put you off farm recording, as even without these totals, you will still be able to compare your activities and what they produced.
How about if the produce is damaged and so cannot be sold? For example, a lot of the eggs we eat are those which were broken.
You can record this also, as you would have needed to buy them somewhere else if you'd not produced them. Don't forget that you should also record any milk or any vegetable or even maize that are eaten or given away, and also any produce you have in store.
I'll try to remember.
So, let's talk about labor cost. Have you been recording the cost of labor, Betty?
Well, I paid a friend 5,000 shillings for helping me prepare my maize field for planting for a day. I entered this as an input. Otherwise, it is all my own labor, so I didn't record that.
But if you could earn money for that time doing something else, you should include a value for your time. For example, you told me you also make skirts, so the time you spend on the farm could be spent making skirts.
Yes, that's true. My time is valuable, isn't it?
It certainly is. But if you don't know what value to put down for your own labor, you could still note down the hours you spend working on each enterprise. Over time, you might decide to include a value for your labor, as this can help you understand the efficiency of your different enterprises. Knowing which of the farm activities is taking most time is a useful indicator for some farmers. Here's something important, Betty. The key consideration with labor is that you should be consistent. If unpaid labor has not been recorded for several months, then do not suddenly start recording it for the rest of the season. Wait until the next season. Likewise, if you do want to record the value for your labor, make sure you include it for all the relevant activities.
Do other farmers forget to include the value of their labor?
Many farmers feel they do not need to include labor for themselves or unpaid labor from their family. They only include labor that they have paid for. That is their decision, and it is fine as long as there is consistency. Another question some farmers ask is how to record outputs and inputs if they are shared between different enterprises. For example, if a farmer has a field of maize and a field of sorghum, they may pay someone for a day to plow their field. This may include both fields.
That sounds like a difficult calculation to record.
Here is how to do it. To record this activity as accurately as possible, you need to divide the cost of the activity between the two enterprises. In this case, this is done by estimating how much time was spent on each of the enterprises. It may be that the fields are the same size and took the same time to plow, so the cost could be divided equally. However, if the sorghum field was much larger than the maize field, an estimate may be needed to divide the cost. Do you have any shared cost, Betty?
We do have to spend money repairing the fencing of our chicken run and vegetable garden. This cost about 100,000 shillings last year.
So, you could split the fencing cost between your chicken and vegetable enterprises. That is, 50,000 shillings each. Your figures do not have to be exact. A good estimate will do.
I understand.
Now, we have talked about all the inputs and outputs that are included in your farm records. Remember that these are being kept so that the total cost and outputs can be compared over time. To do this, you have to add up all cost and inputs values for the period of time you are looking at. So this does, of course, involve some calculations.
My neighbor is very good at that. She can help me. I can help her with her other parts of recording.
Very smart, Betty. You know, by keeping your farm records on a monthly basis, you can compare monthly inputs and outputs throughout the year, as well as for the same month over different years. Or you might just want to compare your records on a yearly basis. But remember, it will be easier for you to do calculations regularly rather than saving them all for the end of the year. You might even decide to break your records down by week. You need to decide what works best for you. You may be unconfident in working out your totals, but remember not to give up if your neighbor is busy and you cannot do these calculations. Your farm records are still going to be useful.
I also have a friend from a VSLA group who has helped me. My family has helped me too. This is even better, Joseph. My husband has got a phone with a calculator on. My daughter showed me how to use it to do calculations on bigger numbers. I have written in the total inputs and outputs values for each month in the space I left at the bottom.
Great. You're in good shape then. At the end of the year, you should add these monthly totals up to find the total for the whole year. You can compare the monthly totals before the year is finished though. You will be able to see which enterprises cost or earn the most over different months, what inputs were the most expensive, what enterprises produced the greatest value, and so on. There are many different ways to compare and use your monthly and annual records. This also includes looking at profits and loss, using what are called gross margins, which are often used as an indicator of how well an enterprise is doing.
That sounds very interesting. Can you teach me about that?
We will look at gross margins in more details next time. See you then, Betty.
Goodbye, Joseph. Thanks.
You have been listening to the third of four podcasts on farm recording from AgriTech Talk. As Joseph said, in the next podcast, he and Betty will look at gross margins. The role of Joseph was played by Okano Kodi Emma. The role of Betty was played by Munira Suwed. And my name, the narrator, is Ediegu Calvin. This podcast material was developed by AgriTech Talk International and AgriTech Talk Africa, with technical support from Farm Radio International, translated and recorded by Ateker FM. All the 4 podcasts on farm recording, as well as their scripts and supporting material for their delivery, are available to download free via the AgriTech Talk website at www.agritechtalk.org. You can also access them via USAID's Food Security and Nutrition Network. Just search for FSN Network and navigate to its resource library. Or you can search online for Farm Radio International's Baraza Wire service. Its resource section will link you to our podcasts and supporting materials. This podcast was supported by a grant from the Implementer-Led Design Evidence Analysis and Learning Activity. The Implementer-Led Design Evidence Analysis and Learning Activity Grants Program is made possible by the generous support and contribution of the American people through the United States Agency for International Development, USAID. The contents of the materials produced through the IDEAL Small Grants Program do not necessarily reflect the views of IDEAL, USAID, or the United States government.